You're listening to
The Marn Report.
Hattie Ford Store and Hunter Army Airfield is Brian Lund here with another edition of the Marn Report podcast. And today we got two special individuals. So to the right of me, I have Mr. Bo Bradley. And to the left of me, I have Jay McGraw. How are you guys doing today?
Great. Fired up.
Yeah. So guys, before we get into this podcast, can we just talk a little bit about what do you guys do around the Rock?
Well, my name is Bo Bradley. I work for DPTMS, and I am the installation emergency manager, and I actually work a lot with DES, fire, law enforcement, EMS to try and keep the installation safe.
Yeah, and I'm Jay McGraw. I'm the fire prevention chief for the garrison over here at Fort Stewart and at Hunter. But another task that a lot of people don't know is my team of inspectors and I also work inside the EOC during inclement weather with Bo, and we sit around and talk stories and just make sure everything's safe here on base. That way we can actually link up with the incident commander, and the incident commander actually has a way to speak with the EOC. So that's what we do.
Yes, sir. And so you said it yourself, we're talking safety. So that brings us to today's podcast. It's that time again, guys. It's hurricane season. It's around the corner. So first, just talk about, when is hurricane season? What do those dates look like?
So hurricane season is 1 June through 30 November, and we have a lot of activity based on the heat of the Atlantic that could happen, and we had a lot of lessons learned in 2024 as the installation went through three back-to-back-to-back severe weather incidents with Tropical Cyclone Debbie, Helene, and Milton. So we just want to make sure that we inform the community as best we can so they can better prepare.
Yeah, so before we get into tips, I first want to talk about those lessons learned. Where do you guys believe we had the most improvement? Where did you guys see success? It was a crazy time, a lot of people's powers going out, mine included. What did that look like for you guys working specifically in the EOC and together?
I think from the, there's two different phases really that we go through inside of the EOC. And one of those is you got the response phase and you got a kind of recovery phase, right? I think the biggest improvement we saw last year is, since we did have so many, we had really good communication all the way up and down. It's really hard to do that. We have to give information up to date, to the minute, to the second information to the garrison commander so he can make decisions. He is the decision maker on this post. So not only that, he needs to be able to relay what he wants and what he thinks we're going to do to the fire department, that's how we disperse and how do we get everything ready to go out and save people if we need to. But I would say, number one, our communication was just a lot better this year. And I think we're going to get on even better this year. And that's why we're doing this initiative right now. We're starting the communication right now. And, you know, that rolls into being prepared and what do you need to have. It makes us feel a lot better inside the Emergency Operations Center if we know you have these particular items that Bo's about to talk about.
Yes, sir. And before we get into those particular items, Bo, you're always in the EOC every time there's a major disaster going on or anything around the installation. Can you give our viewers kind of a sneak peek of what does that look like being inside the EOC? Let's say Hurricane Helene hits, right? What does that look like? What does communications look like top to bottom?
So the Installation Emergency Operations Center is activated on order of the garrison commander. And it's a building, building number 1237 over on McFarland Avenue. And when you go inside it, it looks like a professional classroom. We have all of our emergency support functions that can have a seat at the table per se, but we were pretty much in a level 2 EOC during all of our hurricane events last year. And that is with DES, fire, law enforcement, DPTMS, public affairs, DPW, and AFSBN. And like Chief McGraw just said, we're trying to give the garrison commander the best common operating picture that we have. Me personally, I am in constant communication with the surrounding counties because I want to know what the routes look like. I want to make sure that any roads that we have in the surrounding area stay and remain clear. We went through some pretty hectic times as Helene came in. It came in about 0100 in the morning. We had recorded wind speeds on the installation of 68 miles an hour on both Fort Stewart and Hunter Army Airfield, but we had gusts recorded up to 88 miles an hour, and that's where we had all the trees come down, all the electrical went down, and that also impacted our surrounding communities. But We have 12-hour operational shifts. We have a shift one and a shift two. We just basically got after it to make sure everybody was informed and everybody stayed safe as best we could.
Yes, sir. Yeah, to that point, I don't think people realize this is something that was almost a 24-hour operation. We were steadfast inside the EOC, making sure that we had the communications pretty much every hour, every minute, trying to let people know what's going on, right?
Exactly. And one of the things that I'm really proud of is our team started leveraging more and more technology. So as the impacts from Hurricane Helene happened, you can look at all the Army regulations. You can look at the DAPAM. They want to do an in-person recovery working group. Well, we couldn't because the routes were closed. So we did a Teams recovery working group with all of the key stakeholders to better get the installation back to normal.
Jay Monroe, what did that experience kind of look like for you and your team?
Well, again, like I was saying earlier, we're here for the response, you know.
Right.
Yeah, we can help with the recovery. Recovery for us is more making sure the roads are passable, making sure all those chainsaws are ready to go. Our guys go out there and make sure everything's good. We do kind of a damage assessment, which would be considered called a DART team at other areas, but that's primarily more DPW. But our damage assessment team is just to make sure that we don't see any collapsed buildings. If there are collapsed buildings, we really need to get in there just to make sure no one's in there. So that's what it looks like for us in the recovery phase.
And so let's kind of talk about present day, right? And planning for the future, essentially. What does it look like to stay prepared? We tell people, don't be scared, stay prepared. What does preparedness look like?
So one of the big things that I'm concerned about more than anything else is how are these families that live on Fort Stewart and Hunter Army Airfield, how are they going to get that information if their soldier is deployed? So that's why we're starting the communication plan early. How are those families going to be communicated to by their chain of command? Because everybody has social media, but not everybody wants to see the information on the public affairs social media sites. So we have got to work really hard to communicate to all soldiers, all families. We have a responsibility to 3rd Infantry Division and the senior commander, and then our garrison commander is very adamant how we do business. And one of the things that I'm, you know, adamant about more than anything, the better we prepare now, it may be a little bit easier if we take a direct hit in August, September timeframe.
Yes, sir. And so what do you guys believe are some of the essentials that people should have during this time? You know, we saw grocery stores getting kind of scarce. Lines are going crazy. We were seeing gas lines all the way around the corners. You know, how do people get in front of that and set themselves up best successful?
Well, I can only tell you what I do. You know, if you are off post, you're going to learn really quick when the power goes out that you need a generator. That's a big ticket item. Not everybody has one of those things. However, the number one thing is, you need clean water, right? That's the number one thing. Number two, you definitely need some food. If the power does go out, you're gonna wanna have batteries, flashlights. Just think of everyday things that you use. You know, you're gonna need a phone. Well, how do you power your phone when everything's turned off? You need a battery bank. And just kind of go down that rabbit hole. The more you go down it, the better prepared you'll be.
And so do we have any predictions of kind of what our hurricane season is going to look like going forward?
So the University of Colorado has already released their projections. They released them in December. And once again, it's forecasted to be an above average hurricane season. But we have got something unique going on in the Atlantic right now. The Atlantic at this point in time is not as hot as it was this time last year. The core water temperature. That's not saying that it won't get hotter later in the year, but we are anticipating for a very active 2025 Atlantic hurricane season.
Yeah, and to that point, you talk about the Atlantic getting hot. Why is that important?
The warmer the water and the warmer the air temperature is, the conditions are set for a hurricane. It makes it easier for a tropical cyclone / hurricane to form in the Atlantic waters.
What does, I guess, preparedness look like now? I know you guys are constantly doing training in the EOC. Is that something that's happening year-round?
We have a monthly training in our Installation Emergency Operations Center, but as we move into hurricane season, we will be doing the garrison and the installation tabletop exercise with 3rd ID. We offer hurricane severe weather briefings to all of our units, all of our family readiness groups, and our senior spouses, and we have a resource table every Friday at Club Stewart at the newcomers orientation.
Talking a little bit about kind of road safety and evacuation, there is bus routes, right? There's places where people can get on buses. Are What do you believe your recommendation?
Well, single soldiers, if they don't have any transportation, they will go to their brigade headquarters and they can get on a bus and they will either go to Fort Eisenhower or Fort Benning. We have 200 beds available at each location for the single soldiers, up to 300 with advanced coordination. Another recommendation, if a single soldier has a vehicle, to get their battle buddies and they go towards northwest, towards Macon, and then the families on Fort Stewart and on Hunter Army Airfield, they will only evacuate, and the soldiers will only evacuate, if the senior commander directs it. Last couple of years, we've rode the storm out. We never once moved to another hurricane level based on the projection. So it's very unique times as it pertains to weather projections.
Yes, sir. And so as we kind of wrap up this podcast, what is some lasting advice you want to give to our listeners? What is one thing that you believe that they should know going into hurricane season?
Well, from the fire perspective, and I'm very biased about this because my daughter actually lives on base. She's a spouse. Really definitely need to listen to all of our outlets that we have for communication, whether that be Facebook, whether that be podcasts like this, any announcement that might come over when your loved one comes home from work and, you know, someone makes a decision that, hey, it's time to evacuate. You need to evacuate. Listen to those. Do not take them lightly. Believe me, there's a lot of peoples with real big brains that are sitting behind desks really evaluating that. We have SWOs. We have some of the best technology around. It's something you need to take into consideration to protect your family.
Yeah. Well, anything?
The biggest thing, start preparing now. Don't take it lightly. I live about a half hour west of here, so the impacts aren't as great. And the big thing that I learned last year with all of the electrical outage, make sure you have some cash on hand. Chief McGraw already talked about a generator and clean water, but I was in operations for almost 9 consecutive days, and it was getting kind of touch and go with my personal own vehicle. So, just start preparing now. And if you need anything whatsoever, if you need a guest speaker, if you need some resources, give me a call, 571-801-2038, or look me up on Global. That's it.
And for you and your team, Chief, it's 911, right?
If you need us, just pick up the phone, 911 anywhere. Sometimes now it is a little tricky, especially if you're calling from a cell phone. You can be put into the Liberty County queue. They will first question ask you, where are you calling from, if it's close, and then you'll have to tell them you're at Fort Stewart. They're going to do a quick little flip over, and you'll go to our 911 center here, and then they'll better assist you. But regardless, if you need any other questions or have any other questions for my team, you can come by Building 702, which is right next to the USO, and we can talk to you about it more.
Well, I want to say thank you guys for coming on the podcast. This is something that we should start pushing now because it's going to be here around the corner, and we want to make sure that we're best suited for the installation and getting people safety. So with that, that is going to be another edition of the MAR Report podcast. We'll see you guys next week.
The My Army Post app is your one-stop source for all things Fort Stewart, Hunter Army Airfield. With map at your fingertips, you'll never miss out on upcoming events, installation updates, facility and gate information, weather, shopping, and so much more. My Army Post is free from your phone's app store. Download today.